to the hymn 215, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Remaining seated while we sing, please. Prince of Life, my ransom, shed for me his precious blood. lovely hymn, sometimes the days seem long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair, but Christ will soon appear in power and victory. Praise God for that great day that's coming, when the Saviour will come in power and glory. We'll be able to say then, it will be worth it. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Our opening hymn will stand together while we sing. Please, let's sing our very best on this lovely hymn.
Thank you.
hearts together in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious, loving, and eternal Father in heaven, in the worthy and all precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly and reverently bow in thy presence this evening hour. We thank thee for the grace of God that finds us in the house of God this evening. We rejoice tonight that you haven't left us in our sin, but we thank thee for the abounding grace of God in sending thine only begotten Son into this world to live and to die and to rise again victoriously and to procure for us eternal redemption. And so, our loving Father, we come this evening hour to give thee thanks and praise. We thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in that gift we have all that we need for time and for eternity. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we rejoice that when we receive Christ, we receive all that God can give us. And we thank thee that we have the assurance of sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And so, our Father in heaven, as we come this evening, we pray that thou wilt accept the meditation of our hearts, the lips of praise, that we will sing these hymns, and as we meet around thy word and as we hear the testimony of our dear brother, we pray that in all these things that Christ will have the preeminence and that we will be drawn afresh unto him. Lord, take our gaze of men, take our gaze of the things of this old world, and oh, for these moments that we're in the house of God, may we think upon eternal things. May we think upon those things which are not of time but of eternity. And we pray that for those that know not the Saviour, this will be a time when they will consider their latter end, that they will be brought to realise it's time to seek the Lord, and that in grace they will be brought lovingly unto thyself. We thank thee, Lord, for our dear servant who will come to give that personal word of testimony. We pray for Alexandra, we pray for Vanessa and for the family. We thank thee for them. We thank thee for their time amongst us in times past. We thank thee for what you're doing through thy servant, even in the land of Spain. And we pray, our Father in heaven, that thou wilt continue to bless him in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the providence of God that brought our sister Joy all those many years ago to the land of Spain. And Lord, as a result of her faithfulness and as a result of the providence of God in her life, we thank thee that we can see even to this day the goodness of God, and we can raise our Ebenezer to thee, and we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped. Remember our brother Hossie, we pray for him. We pray thou wilt continue thy good hand upon him. And for this family, may they continue to prove every day the sufficiency of thy grace, the nearness of thy presence, and the hand of God to be their portion. So, Father in heaven, continue with us. We think of those who need that touch from thee, even in these days, not being mindful of our dear brother John. We thank thee for him, and we pray that thou wilt, Lord, guide the surgeons. And Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt perfect that which concerns him. And loving Father, we cry that thou wilt just wrap your arms around him. We thank thee that he's a child of God. And we pray, Lord, that in the week that lies before him, that, Lord, he'll know the peace of God. He'll know the presence of God. And he'll know the power of God to be his portion. And for others who need that touch from thee, we pray, Father in heaven, that in their circumstances that they will prove that thou art a God very near and a God who's always willing to help and to hear. So continue with us now, we pray, for we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Tremendous testimony hymn. Let's stand while we sing this hymn again, please. Let's all stand by the side.
Mother, Master of the sea, welcome on this beautiful Lord's Day evening to the house of God here at Hebron. It's good to see all who have come. Tonight has a special Spanish emphasis to it, and we have Spanish visitors, not only our brother Alejandro Bernabeu, but some other family members who have been over for a wedding. So I say to you, saludos en el nombre de Señor Jesucristo. Okay, and if you want, we're not talking in tongues, we are speaking another language, and we can give the interpretation. Can I ask our Spanish friends just to stand up? It's so lovely to see them and to have them. And we have three adults and some children. So just stand up and we welcome you sincerely in the Savior's name. Yeah. Thank you. This is a missionary meeting, and we have a missionary with us, a retired missionary. Anne McCauley called her a veterinary missionary, but I think she took that title from me. So you don't have to be 90, Margaret Russell, I'm speaking about. You don't have to be 90 to be a veteran. You just have to have served for a while on the mission field. But you have served excellent years in the land of Kenya, and we rejoice in all that God has been pleased to do through you. We also have the treasurer of the mission board, Alistair Hamilton, and his wife, and you're also very welcome. And a few other visitors that are here, we're glad to see you. And those that are joining us on the internet, and we always like to welcome you. There are as many listen in to the service as gather in the actual meeting physically. And so welcome in the Lord's great name. Now, refreshments will be served tonight after the meeting. We don't want you to go away. Enjoy a time of fellowship and friendship together. And that will be here in the fellowship area. We've been collecting shoes for the poor children in Romania. Some of our schools have been involved in that, and it's just been wonderful to see the response and bags of shoes that have been brought in. There'll probably be a couple of pallets of shoes that'll be shipped there during the summer. But we need to get that all together, need to get them sorted and packed into boxes. And we're laying aside Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning for anyone who can come in and help with this. I trust that some of you will be able to do that little service. Thursday night is the midweek meeting at 8 o'clock. And you know that we had a recent visit to the Isle of Lewis, the land of revival. And we want to report on that. Phil and I, and Phil is not here tonight. He's been battling getting back from England since yesterday at 12 o'clock. So he's arrived back. The last word I got was he was waiting for his cases. So do remember him. It's been a long battle getting home with delays, cancellations, and all that kind of thing. But Phil and I will be speaking about the Isle of Lewis on Thursday night. There'll be special prayer for the Christian school. Next Lord's Day of the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Worship service 12 noon. The gospel meeting at 7 o'clock. And please remember all that we seek to do under God for his glory. We do have prayer requests. We think of service that will be rendered to the Lord during the summertime. There's the Romania VBS from the 20th to the 29th of July. The Summer Youth Challenge here at the church from the 7th to the 11th of August. And that entails starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with the soccer camp, and then going right through to 8:30 at night, various activities, children's meetings and so forth, Monday to Friday. We'll be appealing for extra workers to come in. You might be able to help with the football. You might be able to help with the meal that will be provided for the children in the evening time before the evening events begin. We have Vision for Kids going to Kenya in August as well, from the 13th to the 24th. We have our Sunday school camp at the end of August, the 25th to the 27th. And we know of others that are going on mission trips during the summer. We're thinking about the one right now that David McCauley is on, and they're over in Uganda. They've had a very good VBS serving the Lord with the children of the school in the past week. They've had their worship services today, and now in the incoming week they have a youth conference. Will you pray for that? That will be a real blessing to the young people of that area. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. Except to say, and I'll mention something about Alex when he comes to speak, that there are prayer cards at the door as you leave. We want you to take this young man upon your heart, his wife and family, as they serve the Lord together in Corticas Nuevas in the land of Spain. We bring our tithes and our offerings into the house of God this evening. We wait upon you now for your offering. And do remember, at the door there are baskets for this deputation meeting. I want you to give liberally, generously to the work in Spain and the support of the Lord's servant. We sing together the hymn 675, Far, Far Away, in Heathen Darkness Dwelling. Millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. And with this testimony meeting, we know that the gospel will be presented. We want to see you come to Christ if you're not saved. But with the missionary emphasis tonight, it may be that God will speak to some young life here and call them into the work. Who will go? The question is asked here. Salvation storytelling. Dr. Paisley, sometimes at the Easter Convention, he used to get us to sing, Not Far Away, and Spain is not far away, and is certainly dwelling in heathen darkness. So we'll sing it like that tonight in the opening verse. We'll keep our seats as the offering is received. Not far away. It's a great pleasure to announce to the pulpit now our brother Alejandro Bernabeu. Alex used to come and spend the summers here for some time, and of course prior to that, in the providence of God, it's already been alluded to in prayer, a young lady left Ballymoney, went to the land of Spain as part of, I think it was university training, and she met a young man there, and the rest is history. They got married, a Spanish pastor, and children were born, and this is one, and this is the other here tonight. Felt the call of God in his life, and he went to the Whitfield College of the Bible to do training, prepare for the future, and the Lord opened the door in his homeland where his burden lay to serve Christ in Corticus Nuevas. Alex, we're glad to have you back again in what has been your home church for quite a few years. Trust the Lord will bless you as you come and share a report, first of all, about the work, and then give a personal word of testimony. The Lord bless you.
Good evening to everyone. It is a privilege for me to be here again in my church, the church that we love as a family so much. And I was thinking as I was coming this evening that I am so privileged to have not only the church in Corticos Nuevos as my church, but to count Ballymoney as my home church. And we do miss the fellowship with you all as a family, but at the same time, we're very grateful for the Lord for taking us back to our country and being able to serve Him there. I am happy to see all your faces, some faces that I know and we have known for a long time, and some faces even that I don't recognize, but we know the Lord adds to His church to such as should be saved, so we're very happy to see you all. I want to start giving a report of the work in Spain, the work of the church in Corticos Nuevos. I think it is going to work here, so we will have some slides, and we will be able to report a bit of the work there in Corticos Nuevos, where we are serving the Lord. But before that, I wanted to read a verse that sums up a bit the report that I have, and it's found in Psalm 54. I was reading this psalm a few weeks ago, Psalm 54, and I only want to read verse 4 before I start the report. And that verse says, this is a psalm that David wrote when he was in trouble. He was being persecuted. He had been betrayed. He didn't know where to go. And in Psalm 54 and verse 4, David says, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." David had to recognize it is the Lord, the only one that's helping, the one that gives me all His help, His salvation. He's the one that is defending me. He's the one that I can pray to. All those things are said in the psalm. He is my helper, David says. But then David says, "The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." And as I read this psalm and I thought about those words, I thought about you all. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. And before starting our report, we want to thank you as a family. Thank you as an individual, to all of you, for your support in prayers, your practical support, for your remembering of us, and for upholding our soul, as it says there. Not only I want to give thanks, but our church there in Corticos Nuevos sends their gratitude to you all for your help and support. Behold, God is mine helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. As I start this report, I want to leave with you three facts or three realities that I have experienced in these last 3 years that we have been there in Corticos Nuevos. Our church is called Iglesia Cristiana Evangelica Sierra de Segura. That's the place where we are at in Spain. But the first reality that I wanted to leave with you, or I wanted to speak to you, is the reality of the size of our region. Before I went to Spain, to the church in Corticos Nuevos, I remember in the video that I recorded and that we showed 3 years ago, we said that the size of the region that we were going to go, where this was the only evangelical church, was the size of County Londonderry. But as I have been there now for 3 years, I've realized that the size where our church is the only evangelical Protestant church is the same size as if you put County Londonderry and County Antrim together. Imagine for a while if those two counties only have one evangelical church, one Protestant church. That's the size of the area where we are ministering. It's almost 2,000 square miles. Imagine if you want to cover all that evangelizing, you can't cover the whole area. It's too big. It's a beautiful area, as maybe you see there in the picture. It's in the middle of a national forest park, very, very nice scenery, but with hardly no gospel witness. So as the verse says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but only one church in the whole area. So we could say that this is almost an unreached area. Many, many people there have spent all their lives, 70, 80, 90 years, without knowing anything about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. As I say this about the reality of the size of our region, please also pray for our church and for our family that we will not be isolated. It is difficult to have fellowship with other believers when you're the only church in such a big area. So we do have camps where we go with other churches or other conferences and places we go to have fellowship with other believers, and that is very necessary. So that's the first fact I wanted to leave with you. The second fact is the reality of an aging population. This area that I have shown to you is very big, it's massive, but the population is not as big as in our region. Sierra de Segura, it would have maybe 24,000 people, but the whole area where there's no evangelical church would have approximately, or where we are the only evangelical church, it would be around 80,000 people. 80,000 people for only one evangelical church. And most of the people, or the average age, would be more elderly people. The median age would be 47 years old, when here in Northern Ireland it's 38 or 39 years old. And for years, young people have migrated from this part of Spain to the big cities looking for jobs. There in the picture, I have put a picture of just the entrance of our town. As you go into our town, that's the view you see. There's a building there on the left. It says Tanatorio. And that's where in Spain they take everybody that dies are taken there, and they have the wake there. So when I'm entering the town in the car and you see cars in that building, that means that somebody in the town has died. And you see that very often. And my thoughts every time I see that is that person had at least the opportunity to hear the gospel. That person had at least the opportunity to hear the gospel. The reality of death is a reality that's in every country, every town, but most you see it most when the people are aging and in a place where there is no witness or hardly no witness of the gospel. And the third reality that I wanted to leave with you is the reality of Roman Catholic idolatry. I was brought up in cities in Spain, Elche and Alicante. And in cities, you don't see this as much, but I have been shocked by the influence that the Roman Catholic Church still has in these small towns. As you would walk around the streets of our town, it's not a very big town, it's only around 1,000 people, but as you would walk in our town, you would see some doors of some houses with a shrine just beside the door, and the image of Mary or of a saint just there at the door of the houses. It is true that in general, in Spain, as in other countries, Roman Catholic churches are losing members, but they still have a great power, especially in small towns, as where we live. And when it comes to these processions, as you see there in the picture, loads of people attend. Actually, just a few weeks before coming here, I read in the newspaper in Spain that this year the Roman Catholic Church has had record attendances in processions like these and events like these. I give you an example. First week of May, there in our province, there was in the capital of our province, there was a massive procession. The reason was that for 4 months there has been a great drought, hardly no water for January, February, March, and April. So what do? They bring the image, Mary or the saint, out, and they go around all the city to see if it would bring rain. That's the blindness, that's the reality of Roman Catholic idolatry. Those are the three realities that we face in the context and in our region and in our town and in our church too. Now I wanted to speak a bit about the ministries that we have in our church. Of course, please pray for these ministries, the preaching ministry in our church every Wednesday and every in the prayer meeting and every Sunday and the preaching of God's word there. I also go every 2 months. I go to a nearby church. It's not as near, it's an hour away, but that's the nearest church, evangelical church that we have. And so I go to this church and preach there and help them every 2 months in the evening time. It's a very small church, maybe 5 people or so, but they have a desire to hear God's word and to have fellowship together, so I go there and preach every 2 months. Please pray for the Sunday school, the children, seniors, and Bible class. We have 3 different classes. Please pray for that and for the teachers. We have a youth fellowship, not very big youth fellowship, maybe 4, 5 would come, but we want to train the young people so that the Lord would touch their hearts, they would come to faith and repentance, and that they would be able to face the world and all its temptations. We are having also discipleship classes with some new converts. The Lord has worked, and there's a man who was very confused and as he came from his country in South America, very confused. He didn't understand the gospel. He thought he had some background, but he didn't understand what was to be saved. So he came to the Lord, and we're doing some Bible studies, and we're seeing fruits of grace in his life. Also, please pray for a woman who came to Christ last year. She had known the gospel maybe 10, 15 years ago, and she didn't want anything to do with it. She wrecked her life, and just last year she came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she put her faith on him. So please pray for these new converts that they will be able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are not many in our church, maybe we gather around 30 or so every Sunday, and as we don't have a lot of other believers around in our area, we like to have church dinners. As you have also here refreshments and supper after some meetings. So once a month we meet, and that's a very special Sunday where we can meet and have dinner together, and that's very special for us. And also we have camps that we do, and we can gather there with other believers. Just in the second week of August, we're having a camp that we're meeting with other churches. There's actually, I think, 150 that are going to this camp. So please pray as a highlight of the year for us. So these are some of the ministries of our church. Also regarding evangelism, there are certain things that we do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every year we print a calendar for the year with sceneries of our town, and then we give them out to the people in all our region. Of course, as maybe you know, we are the church of the whole region, so we can go to many other towns, 10 or 12 different towns, and we have people from all these towns that come to our church. We also put a program in the radio every from Monday to Friday, a 3-minute program that we are able to podcast or to have there. And we have also the ministry of the bookstall in the market. This is a very special ministry that we go every week or maybe twice weekly. And we're able to give out tracts there and have conversation. And it's good that the people see us there. When they want something, they come and they speak to us regarding spiritual matters. So we're able to evangelize also through the market stall. And on Saturdays, I normally share a short evangelistic video, maybe recorded in different parts of our region, so that people who would maybe not want to go to church because of prejudices or because they would see, people would see them or whatever, but at least they would listen to the gospel through these videos. And we have had some people that through these videos, They have heard the gospel and then they have come to the church to listen to the gospel being preached. So we pray that the Lord will use all these things for his honor and glory and for the salvation of souls. So these are some of the ministries of our church. Then I wanted to highlight three events that we have had in the last year that have been like highlights of the last year. Just in June last year, we had Reverend Lyle Boyd and Heather's farewell. It was a very, very special moment that we were able to have there. Around 70 or 80 people from different parts and churches in Spain came to this farewell. There was also messages sent from Northern Ireland, and that we were able to put in a video there. And I thank the Lord a lot for the tremendous legacy that the Reverend Lyle Boyd has left there, not only in the church, but even in the area where our church is located. And I personally thank the Lord for allowing a year and a half that he was there while I was there, that I could learn from him, that he could introduce me to people. And it was a very special year and a half that we were able to work together there. Also, another special event that we have had this year was the youth camp we had in the beginning of May. It was the first time that we were doing something like that. We organized as a church this youth camp, and all these young people came and they stayed in the homes of people in our congregation. And between young people and some parents that came too, we had around 50 people. So if you count that plus the people from our church, that Sunday in the meeting we were almost 80 or so, so it was quite tight. And the theme of this camp was Remember Thy Creator in the Days of Thy Youth. And we believe many of the young people were able to learn a lot and think about their situation, think about their spiritual condition in this time. And the last thing, the last event that I wanted to leave with you, if you could please pray for this, is that only 2-3 weeks ago, we had our 35th anniversary. Of course, there were Christians before in that region, but since the church was constituted as a church, it has been 35 years. And we had some gospel services on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, like a short gospel mission. There was this minister that came from Barcelona to preach, and the theme was Living in Hope. And he spoke to us about the true hope that can be found in Jesus Christ alone. He also brought, as you see there in the pictures, a collection that he has of old antique Bibles. Some of them were amazing, had almost 400 years, some of these Bibles. And the people were also able to learn more about the history of our Spanish Bible. And we praise the Lord because from 12 to 15 unsaved visitors came. That for us is a big number. And many of them were very interested. Many of them said they would come again. So we're very, very happy for that. Please pray for these visitors that came, that the Lord would touch their lives. As I conclude this report, I wanted to speak to you regarding a project for future expansion of our church that our church committee there in Spain has approved. There's a plot for sale just beside the church that has gone down in price, and in a way it is the only option that we have for future expansion. All the other parts are there. There are buildings there, so this would be the only option we have for future expansion. Our whole church, the hall, bathrooms, and kitchen, is like the size is 88 square meters, like 950 square feet. So every time more and more we're having occasions that space is quite tight, so our committee approved to ask for and to buy this plot that is for sale just there. And as I finish this report, I want to thank you, all of you, for your ongoing support. As the verse says there, 1 Corinthians 15:58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want to thank you for your ongoing support in prayers and financially, and also let you know that the mission board has agreed to split the offering that will be taken today between our support and the work in Spain and the future building project that I have just shared with you. So again, thank you. Thank you very much for your prayers. They are much needed, and for your support that you give us so faithfully. I think that's... Oh, sorry. Yes, that was the other the other slide that I wanted to share with you. So thank you very much for all this. If you could open your Bibles, as we want to, I want also to share my testimony and the time that we have left. Open your Bibles in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. And we're going to read some verses in that chapter. Book of Luke, chapter 15. Verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them." And in the following verses, we have the parable, three parables. And the last verse, in the last verses, we have the parable of the prodigal son after verse 11. But let's jump to verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said," this is the prodigal son, "how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So before starting, we will go to our God and pray to him. Come near to the Lord. Father, we ask that you will be with us. Father, we ask that your word will be heard. Lord, as I share what you have done in my life, oh Father, that many will be able to see the beauty of Christ and the greatness of their sin. See the great, the so great salvation he has purchased for us. Oh Lord, we thank you because all things are now ready. There's nothing for us to do rather than come. Oh Lord, thank you for so great salvation that Christ has purchased for sinners. And I pray, Father, that you will touch hearts. Hide me behind the cross, and I pray that Christ will be exalted and magnified this evening. We ask all these things in his precious name. Amen. Many of you know my life. Many of you know that I was born in Spain, as it has been told, in the city of Alicante. I was born in a Christian home, and that's a great privilege, a great privilege. My mother, as it has been said, my mother was from this church, from here. And my father is from Spain. And he was not brought up in a Christian home, but at the age of 17, the Lord touched his heart. He heard the gospel, and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. he was wonderfully saved. So I was born in dad's home. From I was a child, my dad and mom spoke to me about my need of salvation. I remember when I was 5 years old, because my dad and mom spoke to me, you need to be saved, you need to be saved. So when I was 5 years old, in order to please my mom and dad, I remember praying a prayer. But as the years went by, it was only a profession. I remember that day that I prayed that prayer, a Saturday morning, my dad had told me, you need to be saved on a Friday night. And I said, okay, tomorrow morning I will. And that Saturday morning I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me. I asked the Lord to come into my heart. But as I grew up, my fruits were not the fruits of a true Christian. And I realized today that it had only been a prayer to please my dad and mom. And today, as I share my testimony, I want to speak especially to those ones who have, like me, who have been brought up in a Christian home with all the privileges that it entails. But there's also dangers. And one of the dangers is that it can lead. Some situations can lead to pride that can lead then to hypocrisy. You can easily assume that because you do what Christians do externally, then you are a Christian too. I'm going to repeat that. You can easily assume that because you do what Christians do externally, then you are a Christian too. And that could be a big mistake. That could be fatal. And that is the reason I have read some verses in Luke 15. Because the story of the older brother is a story also of pride and of hypocrisy. It is actually the story of the Pharisees to whom Jesus was talking to. The parable, we know it as the parable of the prodigal son, and is very famous in the Bible. I don't think I have to tell all this story because many of you have heard it before. You can read it when you go to home if you want. But this parable is very famous, certainly perhaps the most famous parable, the most well-known parable in the book of Luke. But in the parable, there is more than a prodigal son. There are two sons. There's a prodigal son and also there's an older brother. In verse 1, we see that Christ was talking to publicans and sinners, and they are represented by the prodigal son. But he was also speaking to Pharisees and scribes, who are represented by the older son. And you know, that division is still today with us. There are sinners who walk, as you have heard, in the dirty side of the broad way. They don't care about religion. They have immoral lives. And they don't care anything about God. And they live the way they want. They live in their desires, immorality, adultery, lies, etc., etc. But then there are other sinners who appear to be very moral, clean on the outside, but they are still sinners. And these are the two sons that are represented here in this parable. And for many years, I was like the older son in this parable. For many years, I lived the life of a Pharisee. And then, and it was normal, I struggled with doubts. Am I a true Christian? Am I the real thing? Is my conversion genuine? You know, you have to realize you are not a Christian because you say you're a Christian. You are not a Christian because you prayed a prayer. You are not a Christian because you go to a Christian church. You are not a Christian because you're a good neighbor. There are many good neighbors today. And there are many, even today, there are many that were good neighbors and they're today in hell. Many people who paid their taxes, who never cheated on their wives, who never said a bad word, who helped the homeless, who donated to charity, who had good living, as it's maybe said, but today they are in hell. Many who perhaps never missed a Sunday at church, many who even maybe read their Bibles every day, they maybe prayed or they thought they prayed, many who maybe had their names in a plaque in a church, many religious people who only had a religion and they ended up in hell. Why is that? Why is that? Because they were hypocrites, not genuine believers. And for many years, in my youth, in my childhood and youth, I lived that kind of life. And we need to realize true salvation produces deep changes in the heart. Not only external changes. It's easy to have external changes. You quit something that you did before and you start something that is more moral. You start attending to church every Sunday. Those are easy external changes, but salvation is a change in heart. It's a deep change. It's a change from the inside out. And so many times we assume that if we do externally the things that Christians do, then we are Christians too. And that's against the thought of a Pharisee, of somebody that doesn't know truly the Lord Jesus Christ. As the older brother here, I thought that I had been always in the Father's house. I had not gone away astray like the prodigal son. And that was the thought of the older brother. I never missed a meeting at church. My dad was the minister, so I had to be there every meeting of the church. If the church was open, I was there. And I was almost the first there in the church. Every meeting, I listened to many, many sermons. I went to the children classes, everything. I sang and learned Bible verses. Every camp, every activity, I was there. I was in the Father's house. I had not gone away as the older brother. I had always served the Father. If you read there verse 29, that's the argument of the older brother. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. I have been obedient. That's what the older brother said. And as a child, I obeyed. They then rebelled. I did what my parents told me most of the time. I didn't want to go to bad places. I wanted to go where my father and mother told me to go. And then the older brother says another thing in verse 29. He says, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And the same, I had not broken very badly the commandments of God. That's what I thought. I never got drunk. I never went partying. The Lord protected me from all those things, but at the same time, in my mind, I had that as my merit. As my merit that could earn my salvation. That was my life. It was the life of a Pharisee. The life of a hypocrite. And we have to be careful. Because it's very easy to fall in the mistake of the older brother here in this parable. So I'm so thankful that though there was hardness in my heart, when I was around 14 years of age, God began to work in my heart to bring thoughts about himself, thoughts about eternity, thoughts saying to me, your good works, your good living, even with 14 years old, your obedience to your parents is not going to see of you. And I thank the Lord for that day when, as the prodigal that I really was at heart, because, yeah, you can live the life of a Pharisee externally, but internally, we're all prodigals. We're all prodigals. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Pharisee, what he does is he hides what is really in the heart. And I thank the Lord for that day when I realized I was really a prodigal. And as we read in verse 17, he came to himself. The prodigal came to himself. And by the Spirit of God giving me new life, I came to myself. I remember going to my room after the Lord was putting all these thoughts in my heart about eternity, about what would I do if Christ returned. And I realized that in reality, I was far from the Father's house. I thought, no, I have not left the Father's house, but I was far from the Father's house. I realized that in reality, I was not serving the Father, though I was obeying. I realized how badly I had broken the commandments of God. I had not done the really bad things, but it was still breaking the commandments of God. And I remember one day going and praying at my bedside, and other days also crying for salvation. In my case, it was nothing spectacular. It was not that one day everything changed, but gradually God started to change my life. Started to show me more and more of Christ. And you know what happens when you see more and more of Christ in the Bible? That you start also to see more and more of your sin. Because you compare yourself to Christ, the purity of Christ, the preciousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, and you start seeing your sin and your depravity. And that's what happened in my life. As you come to see Christ, he opens your eyes. He gives you light to see your own sinfulness. And I had to recognize that. I was born a sinner. Though my outward life was not a scandal, my inward life was. The pride, the blasphemy, the mockery of the things of God, the rejection, all that had been in my life. And you know what? The older son here was as sinful as the prodigal son. And I would say his sin was worse. And why do I say this? Because Christ said in the Gospels that those who were under the preaching of the word but rejected Christ would have a worse ending than those were afar off, those that had not heard. We need to realize that proud is worse than prodigal. Proud is worse than prodigal. Proud neglects his need while the prodigal realizes his need. That is the reason that Christ said to the Pharisees, the publicans and harlots, those that are prodigals, go into the kingdom of God before you, Pharisees, those who are proud. The publicans and the harlots, those who are prodigals, go into the kingdom of God before you, Pharisees. So I was a kind of evangelical Pharisee, and I had to recognize, cry in my heart for forgiveness. And the Lord says that he will never cast out those that come to him. So then that happened when I was 13 or 14 years of age. Then when I was 17 years of age, the Lord worked in my life so that I would dedicate my time to the Lord. In those teenage years, I was losing loads of time, of the time that the Lord had given me, in things that were not profitable. Things that were not profitable at all. Things that were maybe lawful, but not profitable. And I remember one day the Lord working through his word in my heart. And I remember one day thinking, one day I will be before God. And the Lord will ask me, what have you done with the gift of time that I have given you? What am I going to say? Here you have had the gift of time. What have you done with that time? I was going to say as a 17-year-old, oh, I have invested my time in entertainment and video games. Oh, but I was really good at it. But am I going to say that before God? Is that the investment I want to do with my time? So the Lord worked to change things that I was using my time for and using my time to things that were profitable and that would edify my soul. Then when I was 20 years of age, here in Northern Ireland, as I came one summer to work here, the Lord had worked that year in my life. He had brought different things to happen. And then at the end of that summer, I remember going to a conference in Ballymena, Free Church, and Mr. Kearns was preaching. He was preaching on 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace. And in that meeting, the Lord called me to preach his word. And then he reaffirmed that calling the day before, the day after. Then, as you maybe know, and the story comes to where you have seen us here when I was 24 years of age, we got married, Vanessa, myself, we got married in Spain, and we came here to live in Northern Ireland. We spent 6 very, very happy years attending and worshiping in this church. And the last 4 of those years, the Lord opened the door for me to go to the Whitfield College and to study. And I want to thank you again for all who prayed for me in those years and all who supported me so that I would be able to go to Whitfield College and prepare myself there. And then 3 years ago, we went back to Spain. The Lord opened the door to go back to Spain, to our homeland, the country that you have seen. Yeah, it's an idolatrous country. And it's a country also full of perversity, depravity of all kinds, but a country that we love. And we love the people there. And the Lord opened the door to go back there and pastor the church in Cortijos Nuevos that I have just reported about. That's a bit of how the Lord has worked in my life. But again, I want to speak to those that are listening, to those especially that have been brought up perhaps in a Christian home, perhaps your life is similar to the life of the older brother. You have not gone to the world. You have not been doing all these kind of horrible sins. You have an upright life. You have a life that everybody thinks you are a Christian. They would see your life. They would see you on the Sunday. And they would say, wow, that's a good Christian there. But how's your heart? How's your heart? You know, a hypocrite could do a lot of the things that a Christian do, but there's not a reality in their hearts. Hypocrite may be influenced by the gospel in every part of himself, but is not transformed by the gospel. A hypocrite may look to others like he's a true believer, but he's not. A hypocrite may advance far in God's graces, but he falls short. A hypocrite can even have great and powerful experiences of God, as the book of Hebrews tells us, but he's not a true believer. You know what a true believer is? A true believer's heart is changed forever. It's changed forever. That's what Jeremiah 32 tells us. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me. Hypocrites never have a changed nature. A true believer's changed life comes from a heart of love to Christ. Why do you do the things that you do? Do you do them for others to see you? Do you do them so that you would have a good reputation? Do you do them to earn merit before God? Or do you do them because you have a love of Christ in your heart? A true believer also seeks Christ and his kingdom above all else. That is the one thing that is necessary, like Mary did, sat at the feet of Christ, Christ's friendship and fellowship. That is never the one thing and heart-satisfying choice of the hypocrites. They don't want to sit at the feet of Christ. And a true believer abandons all hope in himself and his own righteousness and rests only in the righteousness of Christ for his acceptance before God. That's what a true believer does. Where do you stand? Do you stand with an older brother? A life of morality, a life of an upright life, a life of good works? Or do you stand with the repented prodigal son? A life that which heart has been transformed by the gospel, and you want to live for Christ because you love Christ with all your heart and he has saved you by his grace. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to thee recognizing that in our hearts we have a tendency to be Pharisees. In our hearts we have an inclination towards showing others what we have done. Oh Lord, save us from hypocrisy. Father, we pray that you will work more and more in our hearts. Oh Lord, that our affections will be upon Christ. He will be our greatest desire. He will be the one that our soul loves, that we will do and we will serve thee and obey thee, not because of anything else, but because we love Christ. Because he is altogether lovely for us. Oh Lord, give us that heart. I pray, Father, if somebody is here, is living the life of the older brother, a life of self-righteousness, a life of good works for earning merit before you, a life of pride, Father, oh Lord, convince them from their sin. Oh Father, save souls. Oh Lord, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Oh, how the Pharisees loved to boast in their works. But oh Father, we have nothing to boast, only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at Christ, we realize that there's nothing of us, it's all of him. Father, thank you. Thank you for thy great salvation. Thank you for sending your Son to die for sinners like us. And we pray that more and more people will come to a saving faith and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in his precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Alejandro. There needs to be, as we see from the closing hymn, a going through with God one way or another for those that don't know Christ tonight, those whose hearts are not right with him, to go through with him tonight and make sure that you get right with him. And for those who the Lord in their heart is working, calling, molding, shaping, that you'll really go through with God to serve him. Let's sing a couple of verses of the closing hymn. Above thine own ambitions to the Lord, where they will go through with God their vows to pay, and they're all upon the altar lay. And this be a night to look back upon, a night in their history when God dealt with them in a very powerful way. And for those who are strangers, to grace unto God, open their eyes to see their need. And may they flee to the cross. May they get under the covering of the blood and know their sins forgiven. Separate us with your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.